advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
I know, coincidence?
What up?
What's up?
WhatsApp.
All the time in the world, and we still fucking, we're doing like front flips and somersaults while you grabbed whiskey and turned on the TV and shit. At least
that's,
it felt that
that's
way.
That's what we always do.
No?
It's just a thing.
Normally you turn on the TV. I was trying to save you time, but it didn't work.
We've been,
you didn't know where the secret button was.
No.
We've been saying his name wrong this whole time.
Who?
For years, but we need not fix it probably.
Who?
Old Josh Haney.
Haney?
Yeah.
That's not wrong. He's saying it wrong.
Probably. His family's been saying it for years.
For generations.
Meth. It's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Haney.
You better be careful.
Haney?
He's one step away from being Heine.
Well, he's beyond Heine now. Haney comes from your Heine.
Haney gives you handies.
That's true.
Handies, candies.
That's kind of cold.
Haney?
My right nipple is going to be rock hard the whole time.
It always is.
Yeah,
just the right one. That's the one you nurse from, right?
I'm like on the edge of chills every time I nurse from my own nipple.
Yeah.
Skills.
Supple breast. You have long lips. You have anteater lips.
Yeah, no. It's the opposite of what you would have thought.
Yeah. It's like the long clown balloons before you blow them up. That's what your nipple looks like.
You know what? He gave us two new bottles of whiskey. They're fucking sitting upstairs.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I just tried the Burnside.
Who, Josh Haney?
Yeah.
The fucking Burnside ruined
Burnside.
A
That's
joke.
A different guy. That was Josh Haney, actually. This is Josh Haney that gave us these.
Josh Haney.
New guy.
Josh Haney gave us a long time ago this Burnside bourbon that I just tasted, and it's fucking delicious.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. Attention whore, though. I mean, he could be fucking the patron of the month, and then you got to give us more bottles so we say your name more. And then Dave's over here sneakily grabbing his bottle randomly.
I just randomly grabbed it, and it happened to be
100 bottles
name.
You grabbed
I know.
That.
I know. It's crazy.
It's because there's like 5 or 6 of them that he gave us already.
Yeah.
Well, Josh Haney gave them to us.
Right.
Now this new guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, we're looking at you, everyone else, who didn't give us 5 or 6 bottles of whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would almost be a burden, really.
It'd almost be a bourbon if they give it to us.
That was good.
That was nice. Very quick.
I drank some weird tequila last night. It was my buddy Tommy's 40th birthday. And some guy, I don't know what it was even.
Was he wearing those weird grappling socks at his birthday party?
He was. He wears them everywhere. It's embarrassing.
Running around on rooftops.
Yeah. He's sliding through the produce section.
Rooftops or rooftops? Rooftops. Rooftops.
I say rooftops.
Yeah, rooftops.
You say rooftops.
Rooftops?
Yeah. Like palos.
Rooftops. Rooftops. Yeah. I guess I do say rooftops.
Yeah.
I noticed
if you think about it, you'll say rooftop.
Right.
But
if I
when
just
you say
it, it's rooftop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I noticed another one of your FV pluralization anomalies the other day. You said calves.
Calves.
You're upside down calves.
Calves.
Yeah. Mm, multiple.
Calves. Calves.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I have big calves.
You do. Me too. I look like Popeye walking on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Literally to the point that these pants, I pull my socks up because I don't wear those little ankle girl socks. I have like half calf.
Hey, you watch your tone, sir.
Yeah. I pull them up.
You are old. You wear old man 80s socks.
I do. But when I try to pull my pant like
get
back
all stretchy
down,
after a week,
it rolls the top of my sock down. And then I have to like pull it back up. So then I have to make sure I put on underwear, then socks, then pull my pants over it. If I don't do it in that order, it rolls my socks down.
You need
down.
To buy those like
His socks got funny, blue and red stripes.
School, like sock bottoms. Suspenders that you
oh.
that people put
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they go above your calves.
Yeah, and they lock on and then they clip their socks to
yeah.
them.
What's the top of it hooked to?
Just your, it goes around your like under your knee.
Yeah.
And it's just a little hang down. Those? They clip on. Yeah, you haven't seen those? They
They're like very British. They're very like British.
Yeah,
classic.
But if I did that, I would be fine because that meant I already put my socks on before I put my pants on. I couldn't put those on after my pants.
Yeah, yeah. But that would help.
But then your socks wouldn't shrink down off of your Popeye legs.
Well, they wouldn't do that either if I just put them on first.
If you wore ankle socks, you wouldn't have this problem.
I'm going to be fucking cold this whole podcast. Like, that is fucking cold. It's making my nipple cold.
You wear ankle socks?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see.
It's calling you on it.
Legit?
I tried it. It feels weird. I feel like...
And I only wear black socks.
I only wear black socks, though.
I only wear black socks.
I bought some ankle socks. I'd rather just not wear socks. Like, if I go shorts... And half the time I just don't do socks or I just own the fucking 90s.
If you don't like that, you can pull the ankle socks halfway down where it's just the front of your foot.
Uh-uh.
That's the way to go.
That's useless. I don't know why anyone does that.
Keeps your toes from sweating.
I can't do the no socks
thing.
Stinky foot. It's fucking disgusting.
I have a pair of shoes.
I wear boat shoes. I wear boat shoes and I don't wear socks. Those are the only shoes I can do that in.
Boat shoes?
Yeah. Boat shoes.
What's a boat shoe?
Like a boat shoe. It's a boat shoe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was...
I don't know how to explain what
well
else,
put.
What else is a boat shoe?
Really?
Yeah.
like night shorts?
No. Yeah. Matter of fact. Yeah. It's just a boat shoe. I don't
I've never fucking heard that term in my life. A boat shoe. You guys acting like that's super commonplace. Like
it is.
I think you guys just fuck with me sometimes.
Just look up boat shoes and they'll come up.
I'm just going along with that. I don't know what a boat shoe is, but
you know what a boat shoe is.
Night shorts, I'm down with.
You know what a boat shoe is.
Oh, you don't know what a boat shoe is. And you did roll with it. See?
Just look up boat shoes. You all know exactly what I'm talking about. So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Carlo Ganichi wrote in. He's the one that has the new tattoo, the pigeon tattoo.
I like it. It's called Boxcar.
I think pigeon bum.
He named it Boxcar, though.
Too bad the podcast is over. This will be our last show. But he does have a question. In his spare time, he scouts out players for his game in public restrooms, women's restrooms. His game is the game of life and sex trafficking. So that's what he does in his free time. Yeah. So would you,
can we call that a game?
Game of life and sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
it's a game. It's a game of life and sex trafficking.
I win.
Yeah.
Well, the game is afoot. It's wearing a boat shoe. And that's a boat shoe. I've seen those before, but it's like almost a penny loafer, but
with laces. It's different.
It's a penny loafer with laces.
Penny loafers are usually leather, and they have like little tassels. These have laces, and they're usually not leather.
These are all leather.
There are some leather.
They might be like a thicker suede. And those are...
The ones I'd wear, I don't wear the leather.
One does not wear socks with boat shoes.
Oh, the boat shoes have laces around the edges of them. That's what seems to be definitive.
Kind of like around the back.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, they
kind of.
Yeah. It's just, and they have the little lip on the front of the toe box. Like,
they're
slip ons. Yeah, they're it's if you had a sailboat, you'd be wearing those. Yeah. With some really short shorts. It
looks like you come from money if you have
those
on.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, they were very much preppy shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd wear really short shorts.
And you wouldn't wear socks.
Yeah, you don't wear socks.
One does not wear socks with a boat.
I don't think at the beach you're allowed to wear socks.
That's true.
So. Tommy does though.
Tommy does.
Yeah.
Grappling socks.
Yeah.
Always. question is, would you give up the most important thing in your life and sell your soul to be beautiful and white rich? Which we all know what rich is.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to be white rich myself. And I'm fairly pleased
with myself. That's just from money. The money don't go away.
I would have to know more about the nature of the soul.
Well, it just says, would you give up the most important thing in your life? It doesn't say your children. It says the most important thing.
Because the most important thing in life would be gone and you would no longer have it because you traded it for something that wasn't the most important.
Yeah, but you can get something else.
It wouldn't be the most important thing anymore.
It could turn into.
It would never be.
It could be if you wanted it to be.
It says it doesn't say that.
It just says you would, the current, I would think the question means the current most important thing in your life, you'd have to give that up, sell your soul, which... Shame on them because they don't have one.
Right.
And then you would be beautiful and white rich.
I'd have to know more about the nature of the soul because that deal implies suddenly that there is a soul. And then I would have to kind of figure out what's going.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day,
who's buying the soul? What do they plan to do? The question is, who's buying the soul and what happens do they plan to do with it?
What happens to it?
Right. That becomes.
What if they just want to fuck your soul? Like they just want it and they just want to fuck it. I'm going to say just no. Just for fun.
There's no object that doesn't I desire. Bother me at all. Like, I can't even think of, if I could have any object I desire, I don't even think of anything. Especially to give up my family or something. I'm like, for what?
Yeah, I'd have to say no on that one.
I can't think of it.
I have to say no.
I contacted Superfight for the record.
And at the end of the day, I don't want to be beautiful.
It's too late, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your worst nightmare is happening right now, bro.
That sounds awful.
At the end of the day, I don't want to be beautiful.
That sounds horrible.
All you beauties out there, Dave says, fuck you. No, I don't.
I empathize. I feel sorry for you.
It's tough, Dave. When I'm in the grocery store and women are just gawking at me, it's hard.
Yeah, look at you like hard. a piece of dildo.
Yeah.
And then to be white person rich on top of it, you'd never know if anybody was interacting with you honestly.
Because now you're beautiful and white person.
You could just fake ugly and fake poor.
Yeah, that's why I don't wear boat shoes in the grocery store, because the combination of the two,
right,
it's fucking over.
Yeah.
God forbid I grab a zucchini.
Although if I was doing that. Speaking of boat shoes and boats, though, if I was white person rich, I would have like a wide load truck pull my yacht around the streets so I could like then get park it at the store. You could just have a party.
Yeah. I would have a party in the yacht, just pulling it down the street. Like it would be a street yacht.
Asphalt yacht club. That'd be dope.
Brad would have to go to your house and get like AT&T to install quick connect plugs so they could take the telephone wires down as your yacht rode by.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he would just replug them for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put them back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're moving. Yeah, that's sweet. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. So I say no.
I'd probably say no too.
Yeah. You got a tech winner?
Yeah. Thomas Blue Yak. Again, nobody cares about your middle name.
I think you added blue.
No, it's really? On there. Yeah, you can check out the post.
Actually, I have a social media winner with three names too at the end of the show.
Yeah, so Thomas Blue Yak had Jeffrey Dahmer tacos, and if you didn't see him, you might want to go look at that post.
They're just Asian fusion.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It looked like a cock. It looked like a dead person's cock was on the plate.
Nah, it's a 12-year aged. Is that
like a plantain?
Mm-hmm.
Asian sock.
Very acidic.
Mm-hmm. Asian sock nuts.
So what does he win from El Yucateco?
Hot box.
Nice.
Actually, I just got a fucking ton of sauce and some kind of towel contraption. And I have El Yucateco sunglasses. There's a bunch of shit up there.
Yeah, somebody said they wanted some sunglasses.
What you're saying is you're holding out on us.
We just got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You walked right past it.
Uh-huh. If you want shit.
You need sunglasses. You better grab it.
If you want shit, we post every week. Every week there's a post and you can go on there and post something. It might not even have to be a picture of your food. As long as it's eye-catching.
You could take a picture of your techo bomb that you do at a restaurant.
Yeah, you could.
What did he post, by the way? The old blue yak.
I told you.
It was Dahmer tacos.
Jeffrey Dahmer tacos.
Oh, that was that.
Yeah. Taco with a cock on the plate. You didn't see that one?
No.
Can we just call it a cocko?
I was busy making Asian jokes.
Yeah. You're busy making Asian jokes.
I think more specifically they were gay Asian serial killer jokes.
Yeah, I was trying to think of anything I knew about Dahmer, and I don't remember much. Maxis has taken plenty, except for 12-year-old Asians.
Yeah.
I just remember the fucking delirious dude with a hole drilled in his head that had acid in it, and he was in a towel on the street, and the cops were like, oh, you guys are gay. I'm just going to ignore this. Go back to your whatever you were doing. Remember that?
I thought you said you didn't remember any of the Maxis treatments.
Well, you guys tell me. I remember that you tell me. He's deleting life. He's not deleting my experience of you telling me that it's occurring.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Dave's taking a second look at that.
Is it really a cock? Let me see this.
He's doing the eyeball
gaze. There's a cock
gaze.
To be seen. I'll have it, sir. Let me see that. I want to see. Is this the picture from Blue Yak or is this internet shit?
No, that's his picture. You'll see.
Oh, no.
It's not going to kill you to look at it, but.
What the actual? Did you Photoshop that on there?
No, that's his post. It was just a picture on there.
You can't be rewarding this shit.
Why?
Because more cocks to come. That's why.
I mean,
now you've created.
I just thought it was original.
That's the problem, though. More cocks to come. That's not original anymore. You're not going to win.
Yeah, it's nachos. But a taco with a dead cock on the plate. That kind of wins.
Next week it's cadaver nachos. You watch.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Pizza. Well, then they won't win.
You have pizza with a little tiny bottle. I mean, come on.
There's no carnage there. You're right.
Yeah. What is this? This looks horrible, but it's there.
You just need flair.
I went to
Whether the flair is a penis.
It's the plate setting.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be a penis. It could be
your neighbor's finger.
It could be a plastic dinosaur. It could be a spring. It could be a sparkler.
Could be
that's
Castle Grayskull.
Just flair. Exactly. You need food flair.
You need flair. Yeah. You need flair. Yeah,
I was at Tommy's birthday last night, and I was the most really Mexican there. I pulled my teco out of my pocket, and I fucking made
excited about that party.
A real Spanish speaking like.
It's the first time he's been out in a few weeks.
Yeah, I made him fucking sweat. He had to go to the bathroom, and his face was all red and shit. Fucked him up with some triple X out of my pocket.
Nice.
Yeah. So and then I showed him I had two knives. He didn't have any.
So congratulations to Thomas Blue Yak Balls. Sulfur King Sculpt Member of the Month is. For October, this is October that we're in. I forget that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I forgot it was Wednesday.
September.
On Wednesday.
If you just say September, you're safe.
Yeah. Or Novtober.
Mm-hmm.
Ockvember.
Mm-hmm.
Ockvember. So Josh Haney, we have a new. Oh, I was like, what the fuck is that? Josh Haney, new Sculpt Member of the Month. This is his first week. Congratulations, Scott. I mean, Josh, God. I don't even know your name anymore.
Scott Haney.
I mean, you want to change your last name. We got to change your first name. You're Scott Haney now.
Yeah.
Scott Haney.
Some guy got really excited. There's really a Scott Haney out there.
Yeah. Scott.
I finally won.
Scott Jerome Haney. Claims he can stuff 20 of the regular sized marshmallows in his mouth and still say daddy. That's pretty impressive.
That's a skill. That's a skill set. He has a particular set of skills.
Yeah, he does. He does. That's very interesting. I'd like to see it in person.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yep.
So if you want to be a Sculpt Member of the Month, we'll pick a new one for November. So you're probably going to want to be a patron member, giving us supporting the show. And then also you're going to be posting, commenting, joining in on social media and whatnot, sharing our posts. Make yourself known, basically, because the more we see you, the more chances you have. It's kind of like a raffle, like buying tickets.
Kind
of. So the more you share, the
more
it's
the best kind of raffle, though, because it's a raffle.
It's free.
But we don't ever have to act like it's fair and we can pick any winner we want to.
So you can do all that stuff and we still don't pick you.
It's kind of like American democracy.
I love it.
You can all vote, but at the end of the day, the three people in the basement are going to make all the decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's as close as to politics as we get there. That
was still pretty cool.
We brushed against it.
That's all I got.
That was an abrupt ending.
That's all I got.
Speaking of,
you said you contacted Superfight.
Oh yeah,
I did actually. Someone emailed me at like 4 a.m. saying, "So I used to be friends with this guy who is the guy who invented Superfight."
Oh.
He said, "So he would know me as such and such, and my wife as such and such." The problem is, the Instagram contact hasn't posted in like I don't know since July.
So he knows Jack Dyer.
Exactly. Yes. I was trying to keep it. If it's on the box, then
it's on the box.
It's on the box.
But it was kind of cool that we got it indirectly.
A game by Jack Dyer.
So, but he has like 52,000 followers. So I'm only half-ass famous compared to him, and he doesn't have to respond to me. It's that whole Instagram followers rule. You have to have more followers for them to be obligated to respond.
Guess what? Maybe he's going to fight somebody.
Yeah. But he didn't respond yet. I did send him a message saying that our inches were aligned and we have people on the ground ready to move.
Your inches are aligned.
Our inches are aligned. Yeah.
That's what I heard. It moved a little. Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Abrupt endings.
I have drinking some ghetto beer in honor of it.
Is that ghetto beer?
We need to know what Eazy-E really died of.
Yeah, we'll get there because it's kind of bullshit.
I heard he had snow cones. What? Shit sucked. Yeah. You guys don't want to know. It's complex.
He had blue waffles.
Yeah.
So our topic is, and this was on the vote boards, and if you want to vote for a topic or propose a topic, make sure you are in our Facebook official, unofficial fan group, SK Ultra. Search it, join it, answer the questions. We will let you in, and you can be around awesome people doing awesome things on a shitty platform. But it was highly voted, and I didn't realize how much I'd be into it once I started researching Eazy-E.
I studied well, but I knew that it would be futile for me to try to be on you and Brad's level. So I'm here and I will, you know, chime in hesitantly when possible with information. I got into the conspiracy portion of the AIDS a lot, you know?
So I was a big fan of Eazy-E like back in the day, like from jump, like 1989, I heard his first album, then the NWA album. I fucking loved the whole, you know, that was even when I was still barely in Michigan, and then I had just come to California, and it was like, it was kind of a fringe thing in Michigan because you're kind of on the east side.
West Coast.
Yeah. Right. But then as soon as I came out here, it was just like a totally different thing. And then within a couple of months, you know, I worked at the college at the time, and we were recruiting heavily in Watts and in Compton and down in LA. So a lot of people that were coming to the college were from the heart of it. Right. So
I mean, it was suddenly, I dressed up as Eazy-E for Halloween and like blackface.
Jerry curls and everything.
We did everything, man. Like, we sprayed my hair black. And I probably had a mullet at the time. So I probably did have the curls coming out of the back of the hat. I had the Raiders hat, the glasses, the flannel, the fucking jeans. I had the whole fucking thing.
And all the,
and even my hands were black. Like, it was racist as fuck. Like, we would get in trouble now for that kind of Halloween costume, but I pulled it off. I went to the dance and didn't talk to anyone. I had gold chains and everyone was just like, who the fuck is that?
It's probably
and
just creepy.
Silent all the way through the
like
whole
white
thing.
Girls.
Yeah. And I was probably the right height too at the time. You know, I was short. So I pulled it off.
And for the record, all the people who moved here from the sort of gang scene in South Central LA and had Jerry curls lasted about a month before they all declared, fuck Bakersfield, it's too hot for my curl. And then they all ended up
curl
rid
fell
of
out.
Jerry curl. They fucking got rid of it because it was too goddamn hot.
That makes it hotter? Freaking, why? Because there's like oil in there?
You don't want, I mean, a fucking activator, keep her hair,
big
hair
ass
short,
fucking long thing. Yeah, it's just, it's kind of a mess.
Soul glow.
That makes me think of Coming to America when they're sitting on the couch.
Soul
and
glow.
There's three grease spots when they stand up.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't know. And I didn't, I mean, when I saw, I didn't realize how instrumental Eazy was in launching NWA. Like, I really didn't. I mean, I didn't know a lot of it until I watched Straight Outta Compton.
That I guess it was Straight Outta Compton. That had a lot of Eazy-E was very, he's the reason that they were able to be like, no, he's legit. Like,
right.
He's a drug dealer. Like, we could use him.
And he had the money. Like, he started Ruthless Records because he funded with his drug money.
Yeah. Right.
And so he gave him the street cred and he gave him the money.
Yeah.
And he wasn't lyricist. Like, he didn't.
They didn't even think he was going to rap. He was just there when someone else couldn't make it. And they were just like, hey, why don't you just do it?
Right.
And he was like, no. And it said, I watched the interview with the guy. It said it took him like 3 days to talk him into doing it. Mm-hmm. And then it was a little bit rough. But then
it was real rough. Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they were like, oh, wait, this is going to work.
Yeah.
And he did it. And then they dropped records with like someone's pager number who lived at Ice Cube's house or some shit. And then it became like the hottest fucking thing out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he's, I mean, just like, there's a handful of rappers that I think stand out above the crowd because their voice is so unique.
Yeah.
And Eazy was definitely one of them. Like, the NWA would hit Eazy's voice. I mean, in one syllable, you knew it was fucking Eazy.
His voice was so distinct. Today, a comparable, not in gangster life, but the being of distinct voices is like Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
When he first came out and I first started hearing him.
And he directly cites Eazy.
And this is before he was, you know, I'm not saying, oh, I listened to Kendrick Lamar before he was famous.
But you
did. No, he was still coming up. But he had that voice and I was like, I'm not sure if I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally on board with this. I was like, okay, he's got lyrics, but I was like, but you ain't got none, you know?
Right.
No. Yeah. Eazy sounds like he's, if you want to battle, bring a character, it's like very nasally, high pitched, weird. It's like, if Willie Nelson tried to rap or something, it's like such a strange, unique voice. And lots of artists like that. You think about Smashing Pumpkins. If I started a fucking band and I invited you guys to my show and I talked normal like this, and then you went to my show and I was like, wee, 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 fucking singing like that, you'd be like, what the fuck is he doing?
And so like that's a guy who's huge. Yeah. You know what I mean? Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
And I do not like the Smashing Pumpkins. I don't like his voice. I don't like the music. But that guy is an intelligent guy. He's a smart guy. He's super cool. Like, you could sit down and have a conversation with that guy. Right. Like, oh, wow, this guy's cool. And like you said, and then you go to his concert and he's like, fucking,
what the fuck?
Rat in the cage. And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Same thing, Passenger, that fucking band. Yeah. Passenger, he has that Let Her Go or whatever, and it sounds like Gollum or something.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if you listen to Passenger, Let Her Go, the next time it comes on, that guitar comes through, he's like, you're on the air. Like, you're like, what the fuck is Gollum on stage? Think Gollum, listen to Passenger. It's going to blow your mind.
I don't know what Passenger is.
Lots of people do, bro. Okay.
That's fine.
No. That's fine. I'm just saying.
You get your folk music reference.
I want to actually, someone cut that. I wanted to cut it and like have it like right when the guitar starts and then right when it switches to the lyrics, just cut some Lord of the Rings shit out and have Gollum fucking singing Passenger right there.
So the other thing that I think is ironic about Eazy-E is that if you listen to the old NWA cuts, it would be, you know, Ice Cube would come out, you know, 187, kill a motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. Dre would come out, I'm a fucking nigga up, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. And, you know, meanwhile, Cube went to college. Mm-hmm. You know, Dre was a producer and all this stuff and wasn't really from the streets like
Easy was. He was a techno DJ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he like did like fucking dance music and shit, right?
And really, and
with the World Class Wrecking Crew. I've still got the World Class Wrecking Crew on vinyl.
And not knocking Dre in any way.
No, not in any way.
But he wasn't a gangster.
Right. Like, and the funny thing is...
If you look at most artists and celebrities, they did everything before they did that. Right, they have some really bad toothpaste commercial and they juggle and they play guitar and they fucking tap dance because they tried everything until they made it.
You got Dr. Dre who wore scrubs with a face mask on stage, you know, as a DJ, techno. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
And,
bad. Very
but
bad.
Then Easy comes on and he's the drug dealer, fucking gangster thug.
With the 64 Impala.
The 64 Impala, the whole thing. And then all of his raps aren't about killing people.
Yeah.
And he comes on and it's all about having sex with people.
Yeah.
Like, which was hysterical. Like, so to suddenly see that the true persona of him is the gangster one of the group is really odd, because that's not how he portrays himself as like a clown and a sex person on the records, not as the fucking hardcore gangster
it's just the same way someone's like a super fucking badass fighter. They're humble because they don't have to fucking front. They don't
That's their daily life.
Yeah. Cause they look at you knowing like, I would just fucking kill you. Like, it doesn't matter.
The serial killer doesn't want to talk about killing people because that's what he does for a living.
And I didn't know that Will.i.am was discovered by Eazy-E from the Black Eyed Peas back in 92. And I read an interview with Will.i.am and he said, quote, he never seemed like he was playing a role. When you listen to NWA, you forgot that Cube went to college, that Dre was in an electro funk band called World Class Wrecking Crew. That's how real Easy was. He was the one in the group that really was driving the 6-4 and hustling drugs in the street to survive.
Yeah.
And it's like the idea that they had this gangster credibility all comes from Easy.
Right.
And that's where their money came from. Like, the original, you know, vinyl was pressed with fucking drug money.
Yeah. It said he was making $250,000. Yeah.
Well, and that's cool. Like, they taught him to rap basically, cause he wasn't very good in the very beginning.
Right.
And they wrote his rhymes, but he had that street cred to back it up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the whole image, like, and again, I didn't realize this, and I just read interview after interview, a bunch of music historians and so forth. And they basically said, like, everybody came around Easy, and all of a sudden him wearing his flannel shirt and him wearing his Dickies and him wearing all that is what everyone else started to wear.
Yeah.
And him saying, you know, cruising down the street in my 6-4 sort of creates gangster rap and it all buds from Easy.
Yeah.
Like that's, and that was life in South Central LA. That's how he dressed.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that was the real deal of how people dressed and everything down
like
there.
That.
But yeah, he was. But so it's, he really kind of, I mean, people call him the grandfather of gangster rap, and it's true. Like, it wouldn't have existed in the fashion that it existed if
he took it out of the Run DMC type, you know, music to where it was rap music, but it wasn't gangster rap.
Right.
You know, then comes along Easy and NWA, and it just basically wrote the beginning, the genesis of gangster rap that fed through 1996, 1998.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Tupac and, you know, Biggie feud, you know, Nas, you know, everybody else, Eminem, you know, all these greats now. They all started from this point.
Right.
If this wouldn't have happened, there wouldn't have been a conception of gangster rap right here, who knows what would have came out you know, 10 years later down the road, you know.
And I remember a long ass time ago, they were talking about, after Easy died, they were talking about releasing another NWA album.
Yeah.
And they were debating whether or not they actually planned on it. It was like on the verge of coming out, and they were debating whether or not they should try to replace Easy or just go without Easy.
Yeah.
And the final discussion, I saw Dre on an interview, was that
he said, just stop.
Well, no. He actually said, if we do it, we want this new kid named Eminem to step up for Easy because he's the only one that can bring that kind of rage and that kind of voice and that kind of,
like, that would have started that a kind fucking of riot, like, though, or something. Yeah, people would have the fuck out.
but I tend to agree. Like, if I think of a rapper who could, and I mean, granted, Eminem isn't all about sex and all that stuff, but that kind of flippant, funny, smart ass, like, I don't know. It feels like it's a spiritual successor to Eazy-E in some way, that kind
of. Yeah, but Dre also gets some of that money. It's probably what was behind that. He's like, yeah, it's my boy.
Well, for sure. It's a business. Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a business. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick my guy.
Yeah. Dre was the one with the money. It would have been Dre's call anyway.
In the first place.
And it's like, it's one of those things, like, you take Wu-Tang, for instance. Like, Wu-Tang, great. You know what I mean? Back in the day, 36 Chambers, you know, I mean, even Killer Bees, stuff like that, mm-hmm. like that they put out.
Gene Roddenberry.
That's right. It's great music.
Now, huh?
It's
throwback. Look at that.
It's great music. It was good in its time, and it was great in its time, and it's still great today. But you have this issue where old rappers, and I'm just saying, you know, they were around from the beginning.
Yeah.
Either they don't change their style and try and put out something new,
mm-hmm.
or they do change their style and put out something new, and it's bad both ways.
Right.
Because if they change their style and put out something new to fit with the new times, like, even if it's good and you're like, no, we're Wu-Tang, you're like, no, that's not Wu-Tang.
Right.
But then if they put out classic Wu-Tang, you know, Shaolin style.
Yeah, they're just phoning it in.
This is old school shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nobody wants to listen to this anymore. That shit's old.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you're like between a rock and a hard place, you know, after becoming greats in the music industry. You can't, mm-hmm. a lot of new rappers now have the opportunity, as they're coming up, they can find their style.
Right.
So they've changed it multiple times until they got their style, as opposed to these older rappers that can't do that now.
Right.
They have to stick with it and hope that people will buy their
own shit. I mean, the other thing about rap is it's a young man's game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're not going to see, you know, a fucking old school group from the 80s do a comeback tour like the Rolling Stones or something.
And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, Curtis Blow isn't going to fucking do a comeback tour.
No.
I mean, never. No one would fucking go see it. No one would. I mean, so yeah.
That's it seems like you don't see the 60 or 70 year old person bumping hip hop.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're cruising down the street and I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be that 60 year old. I'll have gray hair at the gas station. Yeah. I got some hip hop on and somebody's like, what the fuck is it? Like,
no,
what
I saw a video.
I've seen guys like that.
There was a video of a feathers, not dots, Indian Native American man that was popping that kind. Yeah. He was popping and locking in the fucking garage with like some young kids. Like, they were dancing and doing some shit. And he fucking was doing some super electric boogaloo fucking shit.
Oh, I've saw that. He had like big baggy pants
on. And he was fucking badass. And you're like, damn, that dude's like fucking 65 or something. Like, he was old. He had gray hair, but you knew, like, damn, that guy in his prime was fucking doing the shit. And he was still moving like that.
Yeah.
Or you see those little old men, they're like on a walker and they start playing fucking swing music.
Right.
And he fucking breaks out the zoot suit fucking, you know, the jitterbug fucking shit. And he's moving all over the place when a second ago he was like comatose and drooling.
Right.
Well, you see that though.
And like, I know that.
So those generations are coming around. Yeah, like, that is happening.
The Indian guy that you're talking about, I remember the video. His name is Spins on Cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember seeing that.
He's from the Mud Clan.
That's right.
Mud Butt Clan.
So Eazy-E, born in South Central LA, born in Compton. And he's born to a father who's a postal worker and his mom's a grade school administrator. Fairly typical.
I saw the interview with a super intelligent, well-spoken, nice family. Like, you don't think that this kid comes from that household, honestly.
Right.
It was weird.
And he drops out of high school and he ends up getting a GED, but he drops out of high school, which again, living in Compton, that's probably not very surprising because you're not really living in a neighborhood, especially in the '80s. Like you're not in a neighborhood where you feel like school is ever going to get you success.
And he had a cousin that was making super money, like selling drugs. So that's probably where you come from that household. And it's like, no, you need to do this. Go get a job at McDonald's or some shit,
right?
You know, cause that's what you're going to do and you're going to do it right. You know, bag groceries at the grocery store, but then you see your fucking cousin driving a Mercedes or some shit or an Impala and you're like, fuck that.
And there's some speculation about what he sold. Jerry Heller, who's a friend of his and ends up being
business partner, his business partner, manager,
that stuff, you know, causes a rift in NWA, all that stuff. But Jerry Heller claims in interviews that he only ever sold weed and that he didn't sell cocaine.
That's a lot of money. $250,000 for weed and weed.
Like if you're dealing weed and you got $250,000, you're probably not street dealing.
You're
selling to sellers if that's how much
and this
money
fool, you're yeah, making. And this fool is either really good at it or
especially back then.
Either he was like selling it
dime bag days.
Or he was really good at selling whatever he was selling because the closest people to him didn't really know what he was selling.
Right.
So it couldn't have been weed.
Right.
It literally could not have been
especially
weed.
In South Central in the '80s, he was selling crack.
Yeah.
He needed a car.
Like, I'm sorry. You were selling fucking crack.
And you needed a car with a big trunk. You know what I mean?
Right.
Put the bricks in there.
Right.
You know? So
he ends up getting the money and, the movie, even though it's, you know, produced by Cube and Dre and they were directly involved in the story and, you know, tried to verify as much as possible that it was accurate. They really kind of, and I'm not like blaming anyone or saying this is bad, but there's a lot of elements of the beginning of the group that get left out of the film because it's too complex. There were too many moving parts, I think, to try to succinctly do it in a 5-minute, you know, setup in the movie. But because in the movie, it just ends up that he has money. He gives them money to press their records. They end up.
You have to simplify it.
And they just go straight out of Compton. And that wasn't really.
I mean, you can't just drop the ring at Mordor. You need a 3-part series. You needed more. Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't just fly there on the fucking eagle. You had to fucking do
the Lords
in
the Hood
first.
That's what we needed. Yeah.
So, in 1986, at 22 years old, he had $250,000, which is what he invested in, which he probably had more than that. Like, allegedly, the $250,000 is what
it just said he was annually earning that.
Oh, okay. Because I had read that was what he invested to create Ruthless Records.
I think that's what Heller invested originally and then ultimately put in $1 million. And it says Heller claimed that he invested the first $250,000 and eventually put in $1 million.
Right.
It was saying that Eazy-E at the time by selling drugs was bringing in $250,000 a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
but he quit that because his cousin that he idolized for doing got shot and he was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I could do something better.
So he starts recording songs in his parents' garage and Wright Heller asks him to go into business with him.
I like how all bands, all music starts in the garage.
Yeah.
Like even hip hop.
Yeah. Where else are you going to record? Yeah.
Make it on that fucking noise. Right. Go rhyme in the garage.
That's old. Yeah. That's old hip hop. Now it's, you know, at the computer desk. Yeah.
And
you
know. according to Jerry Heller, and I'm going to say based on what Dre would say, take everything Heller says with a fucking grain of salt because nobody trusts him and what he says.
Yeah, he fucked over everybody.
But his claim was that at the beginning, he or Easy wanted it to be a 50-50 split because Heller could hustle the business and Easy could hustle the streets.
Right.
But that Jerry Heller said, no, you get 80%. You run the company. I basically work for you. I'm your manager. I get 20%.
Right.
So that was his account is that was a decision that he made because that was what was fair and he let Easy keep the money. But so the reason that the timeline is kind of funky is sort of pre-Ruthless Records, we have the World Class Wrecking Crew in 1984, and that was Dr. Dre, Lonzo, who was the DJ that they both worked for, Michelle A, MC Ren, and Yella. In 1987, NWA pre-Ruthless released its original lineup, and it was a different group than the normal group. DJ Yella and MC Ren aren't there. A guy named the Arabian Prince was there, and they released
Arabian Prince.
Yeah, they released a group called NWA and the Posse in 1987.
I saw a thing with Cuban. They were like covering songs, like they were taking normal hit songs but making dirty versions of them or something.
That was actually a big thing that came up from Miami, like back east. That was a big thing. That was where Luke Skywalker and Two Live Crew came from, and there were all kinds of groups that did shit like that. But
yeah, Two Live Crew have fucking orgies on stage.
Fuck yeah, they were like nasty that bastards. Fucking,
so crazy.
In 1988, though, they got the money together and Easy debuts Easy Does It. And it's 12 tracks, and it's kind of what a lot of people, and like they labeled it as West Coast hip hop, gangster rap.
Hip hop, hip hop, lady, hey. Out there listening to that hip hop.
Out there hip happen. But that was sort of where the label came from, was from Easy Does It. And it's a pretty big success. I mean, it's 2.5 million copies get sold. It reaches number 41 on the Billboard 200 for a fucking gangster recording shit in his garage.
Right.
Like, that's not bad, right? But then from that, the album was produced by Dre and Yella, and it was written by MC Ren and Ice Cube and the DOC, who was involved in all that shit early on. The DOC was dope. Did you ever get in the DOC, Brad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got in a car wreck. Is that what fucked his voice up?
I think
so. Oh,
that's
something with that guy, yeah.
Yeah. He was fucking dope, too. He was fucking
Yeah, bad. I mean, it's like, oh, man. Yeah, just early. I had a fucking ghetto blaster with the eights and the dual cassette tapes and a fucking.
You have that now.
I mean, yeah, it was cool. Like, that thing was loud.
Those things are for
loud.
A bunch of money now, man.
Those are loud as fuck. Yeah. I don't even remember where I got it from because I didn't have any money.
Right.
I was little.
I go over to the Westchester repair, and he does all kinds of crazy repairs for this dude that finds for movie props. Mm-hmm. This guy sources broken boomboxes like that, then sends them to Advanced Electronics Westchester and has them repaired just to be in movies and shit, like 80s movies, because they need authentic shit.
So yeah, that's the equalizers, you know.
Yeah, but those things are like $1,200. Yeah. Like the fucking badass ones were sitting in there. That's crazy. Some like remake ones or whatever that are MP3 and a bunch of shit.
Yeah,
they actually look kind of cool,
but they look new. You can tell the old ones.
There's some digital stuff going on there.
Yeah. Right.
The I don't remember what the brand was.
Money, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to listen to all the shit I shouldn't have listened to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember being.
I had Two Live Crew, and my mom had no fucking clue what that was.
I had two 12-inch subwoofers in a car. Like trunk speaker box hooked up to a home stereo. With the bookshelf speakers.
Well, I fucked with robots and shit, so I was always at Radio Shack. So then my mom took me. I'd be like, "Hey, take me to Radio Shack," and I built speaker boxes. Like, I cut them out, but I made them look like home tower speakers and shit. So like, I bought that one in the mid range, and then the tweeter. And I didn't have like a fucking. There's no fucking what's a bypass or whatever that shit in there. I just wired them all together.
The
ohms were fucking wrecked. It was probably burned on my fucking stereo and shit. Right. Yeah, and I would just build these things out of like veneer. And my dad worked with shit like that. I cut veneer, cut the speaker holes out.
My buddy Cody, this is when we were in high school, like probably like freshman, sophomore year, and he got a Pioneer like head unit, like one of the old big ass fucking stereos.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the wattage, because I always looked at, when I was young, I always wanted a car and a car stereo and competition stereo.
Right.
And I was always looking at like Crutchfield magazine and Comp magazines where, you know, you're doing all this audio equipment stuff. And he ended up, and I looked at the back of this fucking stereo, and it had like, it was, 2000 or 2300 watts or some fucking crazy like wattage. I was like, oh my God, like this is
back
insane.
In the day, you would get like four fucking tower speakers and they would have like
huge
212.
Yeah.
And
so,
a couple fucking
he had two like big speakers and they had 15s in them. And then they had horn speakers, like the big horn speakers.
Yep.
They're almost like home concert speakers. Like, you know what I mean?
I still see that shit in thrift stores and I want to buy it constantly.
Dude,
I'm like, God, what am I going to do with that? It's furniture.
You fucking, we would fucking turn that shit up, right? And I mean, as loud as it would go, and that thing would just be blasting, and we would go like three or four blocks over and you could still hear it. Like it was that
Remember
loud.
I caught the Jehovah Witnesses when the toilet paper trap? I put fishing line all through my fucking through eyelets to a clothespin and I put copper contacts on it, made a switch, and then I put a fucking shirt button in there. I got that from Freddy Krueger Part 1, like the only scary movie I ever watched. But I made a switch out of it and then broke the speaker line and left Metallica on repeat and had that shit on like fucking 10. And we forgot it was on and these Jehovah Witnesses walked through my tripwire and popped the button out and it was just like,
hey.
Yeah.
Here we go now.
Yeah. My mom was like, oh my God, turn that off and get out there right now. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I was just screaming Metallica so fucking loud out my windows.
I do have a wrestling story. Did I tell the one where we broke that fool's heel on the show before?
Mm, no. I think so. No,
I never told that one. No, so it's the same kid, so. Cody. We call him redheaded Cody because he was a flaming homosexual.
What's that but, the color of his hair?
Redhead, flaming redhead. But I just said
that still doesn't make any sense though.
He wasn't
flaming.
I don't think so. He might be now. Yeah. We were wrestling, me and my buddy Jake and him. My buddy Jake's the one that suplexed his sister, the cheesy burritos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Suplexed his sister into the glass. Right. So fucking Cody gets a fucking wild hair in his ass and he's pissed off at us and he's fucking, I'll take both you guys on. And we're like, fucking really? All right. So I grab him. I threw him down and fucking held him down by his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking Jake fucking jumps in the air and fucking head stomps his heel into the ground of the floor.
What the fuck? From the like, top of his ankle? From the front of his
foot? Yeah, like the side. It was kind of like the side. Like he was laying down. Like he was on his back. I don't even know how.
That's malicious intent.
He fucking jumps in the air and fucking just fucking. Who's the fucking. What's the Mortal Kombat? The Bruce Lee stomp. The fucking Bruce Lee stomp.
Right.
Where he fucking
right.
jumps in. You know?
You said fuck more than the Big Lebowski, though. I know that. And, right now. 177.
He lands on this fool's foot, right? Well, we hear a pop.
Ooh.
And he starts screaming bloody murder, goes into the fetal position and starts fucking spinning like one of those. Like a flower, you know? Just starts spinning and screaming. He's spinning. He never stops spinning and ends up in his room, right? Like it slams the door. Like he never stopped spinning.
Like a tilted spinning. Word fell off the tracks.
Into his room screaming like a banshee and wouldn't come out. His mom gets home, they take him to the hospital. His heel is shattered. The bone in his heel gone, and it took him like 6 months to be able to walk again. Like it was bad.
Fuck.
How do you finish the recipe though?
Actually, that's his house. We used to piss in cups and tell the girls that it was alcohol.
Oh,
and they would drink it.
Fuck.
They would drink it. They would drink it and act like they were drunk.
Oh,
what
Jesus
the fuck Christ! Yeah.
It was all head games. Like we knew it wasn't alcohol, but we'd piss in the cups.
And they didn't know what alcohol tastes like.
I guess not, because they were acting loopy.
That's the edge of the animal abuse serial killer shit right there. Peeing in cups and giving it to girls.
A little bit.
He's the one too. I almost fucking hurt him real bad because he pointed a gun at me. We were drunk. His mom was an alcoholic. And so there was like alcohol all in the house. And he got drunk and pointed a pistol at me.
That's how kids die.
Legit. Yeah. I almost fucked him up pretty bad. Yeah. Was that
before or after his ankle was shattered?
That was before.
Okay.
Yeah. That shit coming. Yeah.
Coming. So
I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah. NWA releases Straight Outta Compton, massive success. And it's like right away is when all the fucking, you know, strife happens. Jerry starts to take care of Easy, but nobody else, and shit starts to get weird.
Because Easy's smart though. He had people sign as like exclusive, like partners and exclusive artists or something. Right. The way they are producer and artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were actually signed like under Easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Just in case. Right. You know what I mean?
So they end up, and this is, I've said on the show before that the only reason I want a time machine is so I can go to concerts, because there was the Bring the Noise tour with Public Enemy in 1989 and NWA opened for them.
Wow.
And that would have been fucking dope.
Public Enemy, Ice-T, Eazy-E and NWA. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you think like if you had a time machine and it was like, you get the time machine, but you can only go back to concerts to watch concerts. Like there's no dilly-dallying world
it's
around
a musical
that,
time
right?
Machine,
it's a musical time machine. It takes you to the concert, you watch the concert, and then you're sucked out, right?
Right.
Do you think in that time you would fuck up anything.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it depends. There's
a butterfly effect thing.
Like there might be illegitimate children running around.
You
would have said hip hap and it would have stuck.
Yeah, that's right.
It's called hip hap now.
I mean, there's only two scenarios. True. You're either going to go back and fuck everything up because you weren't originally there and you've permanently altered everything.
Space that you occupy. Yeah.
Or you were already always there in the first place.
You fulfilled the timeline. Right.
In which case, everything that happened was always happened. Yeah. So you would go back to the concert, but you were already always there. At that concert.
Yeah. So you didn't change. You did the same thing you were going to do.
Right.
So I think both of those theories are right, because even in the first instance of your going back, you fucked it up, but now that is the constant.
Right.
That you
That's
fucked
true.
It up. It becomes
That's true.
It becomes
so
the
whatever.
Inevitable.
Yeah, so whatever you know, you already did. Yeah. And it's so however right. a chance. That's crazy. Yeah.
Long story short, I'm your dad.
Yeah.
It was a long night.
Yeah.
So
you came from my nutsack.
Right. Yeah, I did. But so right around this time, this is when Cube leaves the group because he's like, fuck Jerry and fuck this whole thing. Fuck the curls. And then the feud happens. That's a whole other story. But the feud between Ice Cube and NWA, they start to fucking beef back and forth. And this is like, when you start to see some of the shit that happened on the West Coast, and I was really realizing this when I was doing this research, and you think about the East Coast, West Coast beef where people are getting killed, you know, Biggie gets killed, Tupac gets killed, et cetera. I think the killing only happened because of the West Coast.
Because
these motherfuckers were about to kill each other.
Yeah. But when you dig into this shit though, the conspiracy of his death, then a bunch of the artists are like saying that like Tupac was fucking killed by like government agents and it was because there's powerful black men and you just don't let that happen.
Right.
So they fucking like the grouping of the shots and the way that it went down. And it gets
The whole AIDS thing is a conspiracy in itself.
And population and control.
Eazy-E ends up with AIDS, you know. I don't know. Like, I think West Coast gangster is a lot different than East Coast gangster.
Absolutely.
Not saying East Coast gangsters are pussies or like whatever.
No.
I think the vibe is just a completely different thing. You know, like just listening to East Coast hip hop is, you know, as opposed to West Coast.
I don't know. I feel like the East Coast thing is going to be more influenced by the mob. And it's going to be like this thing we do, and there's rules, and there's and fucking West Coast is just fucking Wild West.
Yeah, we kill anybody. Like, that's a good good
Sons of Anarchy disaster.
Yeah, just fucking crazy, stab you in the head and exactly with a fucking knife. Yeah.
So one thing I didn't know is that the cover on Niggas for Life, they didn't know where they should do the shoot. And the photographer who they hired, a guy named Peter Dokus, horrible name.
What's his middle name?
Yeah. Fucking Tallywhacker.
Peter
Tallywhacker Dokus.
Peter Handy.
They didn't know where they should shoot the
I want to say it's Hocus.
Peter Hocus Dokus.
I like that. That's
Dokus. Peter Hocus Dokus. that's probably it.
Easy took everybody to a crack house that the cops just raided the day before. And said, "This is where we're doing the shoot.
It's got all the props.
Right.
It's on my shit. My shit was in here yesterday.
Exactly. And it's like this iconic cover and so forth. And it's like,
Easy, how'd you get the keys?
But that's the kind of shit that Easy would bring. Is it's like, we need a cool place that's legit and from the street. And he's like, I know this crack house that just got busted by LAPD yesterday.
In Bakersfield, they're taking a picture on the railroad tracks.
Right.
You know,
he needed to check up on the place anyway.
So all the strife keeps going, and then Dre wants to leave. And so, and I read a quote from Dre, and all this is in Straight Outta Compton, of course, but Dre says, quote, "The split came when Jerry Heller got involved. He played the divide and conquer game. Instead of taking care of everybody, he picked one nigga to take care of, and that was Eazy-E. And Eazy was like, I'm taken care of, so fuck it." So all this stuff goes down and Dre wants to leave, but he can't because Easy has him on binding contract, which I thought Heller had him on contract, but it was fucking Easy who had him on contract. So Dre sent.
That's
Suge
why the
Knight.
Beef was more with Easy and not Jerry.
That's right.
You know,
so Dre sends Suge Knight to look into Easy's finances because he's suspicious of what's going on and wants to get released from the Ruthless Records contract. Easy refuses. After he refuses to release, Suge Knight goes back to Easy, and I didn't know any of this. Suge Knight goes back to Easy, says, "I kidnapped Heller, and have him prisoner in a van.
Yeah.
And he,
falsely though.
And he spread the rumor as well on the streets. And then he came up and said it. Easy called his bluff and was like, fuck you. No, you didn't. I don't give a shit. But then Knight goes back, gives Easy a piece of paper that has his mother's address and said, I know where your mama stays. And Easy released Dre from the contract.
Well, so no, then he went to Heller and told Heller he was going to fucking kill Suge though.
Like, yeah, he did.
There's an interview saying, this guy's a fucking problem. I'm going to kill him. Notes. And then at one point Dre was like, I know how we can work this out. Meet me at some hotel. And allegedly Eazy-E went to the hotel to meet Dre, but Suge was there with like dudes hiding in the closet and under the bed with fucking pipes and shit.
So when he
walks in the room, all these dudes jumped out and fucking like strong armed him and said, look, that's where they got the paper. Like, I know where your mom lives. Right. I'm going to fuck you up. And that's how he forced him into releasing. Right.
Because the quote was, he said, he was talking to Heller and Heller said, do you know this guy Suge Knight? Eazy says, yeah. And Eazy says, I'm going to kill him. This guy's going to be a problem and I think I should kill him. And then Heller said, let me think this through. We're doing $10 million a month with 6 employees. We're the most successful startup record company in the history of music. And you want to kill this guy? It doesn't make any sense to me. And then Heller said in his interview, you know something? I should have let him kill him. I would have done the world a favor. He would have done it for sure by himself. Yeah. He always rolled by himself and he was fearless. I think that he was going to do it. I shouldn't have talked him out of it. Ruthless would probably still be around. Dre and Cube would still be with Ruthless and it would have been an empire.
Yeah.
So according to Heller, and again, take it with a grain of salt, but according to Heller, when Suge was pressing and threatening his mom, fucking Easy was I'm going to go kill him.
And quite possibly Easy might still be here, depending upon what you believe far as some of the calamity that's
so
down.
When I started to see all that stuff, I was like, I think this is why everyone was dying. Like this was already the mindset just within the West Coast.
And the thing is, like, you have NWA, which Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, they weren't gangsters. You have, you know, the DOC, you have MC Ren, weren't necessarily full-blown gangsters.
Right.
But Eazy-E was.
Right.
Suge Knight was Tupac was
You
know what I mean? Like there were actual.
They're hanging with their crew hanging is with gangsters. Like they're in
so,
the.
Yeah. Say your concert time machine went back, but somehow through the events it changed and Eazy-E doesn't die. Mm-hmm. What does that look like today? Like the Tupac to Biggie, like all that shit. He's alive. Like did he die again through some other scenario, or what do you think the scene looks like if he had lived?
I think if Eazy-E lived. Either
he's just on Law and Order, he's like some Ice Cube shit. Because what's Ice-T and Ice Cube are both on like detective shows.
Ice Cube.
Either Easy or Suge Knight would be dead right now.
Yeah.
Like I suspect that
Suge Knight would have been dead.
I think Suge Knight would be dead. Everybody
Be
pointing fingers at Easy, and he'd be on Law and Order LA.
Or he's on like a Black Family show where he's like these crazy kids. And they're just like running all over the house and shit. And he like used to be a gangster, but now he's a dad.
Ice Cube's name is Finn. Finn Tutuola, right? That's his name on Law and Order.
Oh, it really is Law and Order.
Yeah, but the other thing is though. He would have to be like on Law and Order West Coast.
Right,
Because Ice Cube or Ice-T
on Law and Order LA.
Is natively a East Coast rapper. Mm-hmm. Law and Order LA.
I like the Charles in Charge version.
Yeah.
Easy in Charge.
Easy in Charge.
He could have done both.
Easy does it.
He could have done both. Yeah.
He would have had a Tooth Fairy movie and shit.
He's just
it wouldn't have been The Rock. The Rock doesn't even exist.
But he's in Law and Order and his name is Detective Eazy-E.
Yeah, exactly. Like
he's Detective Easy.
He's like, we could do this the hard way or we could do it the easy way. That was like his catchphrase.
Yeah, that's right. And we could do, and he looks at the camera and he winks.
Ding.
Yeah.
And then he injects him with AIDS.
Yeah. Oh, that's a special power.
Yeah.
So the other thing I didn't realize is that throughout all this, Easy had, because again, he just kind of comes off as the clown in his raps and so forth. And you don't realize how much he was a mover and a shaker behind the scenes. But he was he's the one who brought the DOC on board. He found JJ Fad. He found Michelle A. He was behind Bone Thugs and Harmony. I mean, there were a lot of big,
I guess,
big
business-wise,
acts.
He was so savvy. Like, I watched an interview with Ice Cube, and he said to this date, he still uses principles and practices he learned in business from Eazy-E.
Well, when you're making $250,000 just on the street by yourself, you probably learn some things about business.
And,
regardless whether it's legit or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, if you're selling fidget,
doesn't matter. Business
selling crack, selling fidget spinners, selling cars, and sales.
It's all
like,
the same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So again, with the interview I read from Will.i.am when he signed early on, he said that Easy signed him even though Will.i.am's records were all weak and no one would sign him because his records weren't any good. And he said, quote, Easy would tell me your songs don't match the energy of your freestyles. Easy signed me because I could freestyle and make beats. Think about what Black Eyed Peas became. Years later, we'd sell out stadiums, sell millions of albums and travel the fucking planet. There's a person by the name of Eazy-E that saw that before we even figured that out.
Yeah.
And it's like Easy saw him and was like, this motherfucker can do it, you know? And I didn't realize Will.i.am had anything to do with that whole group, with that whole crew, but it explains it because Black Don't Crack. He,
lotion,
because he was in No Take Backs,
the Defiant Ones, that documentary on HBO. He was like, he was prominently interviewed in it, and I wasn't sure why Will.i.am was in it, like speaking as an expert on this stuff, but he was fucking from 92
on. He was in it.
He was in the middle of it.
He just wasn't big yet.
Right.
That's exactly. All it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So all this shit goes down, and then on February 24th, 1995, Easy goes to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in LA because he thinks he has asthma from a recurring cough, and he'd been wincing.
Right.
I'm not sure what that means exactly. He'd been wincing since July.
Yeah. It's probably just like expressing pain in his face, probably, like just showing discomfort.
Maybe from his lungs or something. But, so he's diagnosed with AIDS, and he releases a statement in March of 1995. And the assumption is, and Wikipedia said, it is believed Wright contracted this infection from a sexual partner. No shit, Wikipedia.
It's not no shit though. We don't know, but
he fucked everybody under, like,
probably.
When you hear about a musician who fucks groupies and goes crazy in the hotel rooms, that was easy.
But the problem is there's no women, no children, no baby mamas, no mistresses, no one that came forward to say like Eazy-E gave me AIDS.
That's true. But that there were plenty of baby mamas.
Yeah. He's got like seven kids with a bunch of fucking crazy estranged women, right?
Yeah.
None of them have AIDS.
Yeah,
His wife had a baby 6 months after he died. Baby.
Right.
No AIDS. Wife,
right.
No AIDS.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's fucking weird. Is that even possible?
I think it's possible if it comes from the male. It might be possible. I don't think it's possible to have the mother have AIDS and have the, I have no idea. I'm talking out my ass, but I feel like the mother
straight out my ass.
Yeah. That's right.
But all the women that he fucked, there's surely somebody that would have contracted HIV
if that was happening.
Just the roulette.
Somebody. Yeah. If there was, you know, 500 people, let's say. There has to be a percentage of that.
Right.
That would end up
with it. For sure.
And I watched an interview with, I don't know who this is. You guys probably do. BG Knockout. You know who that is? So he was in the studio with Eazy-E the day that he left and went to the hospital.
He was about to get big, but he went to jail. If I'm remembering right.
So they're in the studio really, and he's trying to get, Eazy to do tracks. And he's like, I'll be in there in a second. I'll be in there in a minute. And he's like, fuck, we got to go. Like, come on, just come in here and fucking lay it down. And he goes in the hallway and he's just sitting on the floor, leaned against the wall, fucked up, like barely breathing and shit. And he's like, well, damn, you okay? And so he gets the security to take him to the fucking hospital. And that was it. He went to the hospital. Yeah. He got admitted.
Died of pneumonia.
They said,
he's
got fucking bronchitis or asthma or something. Then it turned into AIDS and he died like 2 weeks later.
Bronchitis or asthma turned into AIDS.
No, and it's crazy. Yeah. So the beef was still going, but on
I like
March,
that progression.
Yeah,
he got bronchitis or asthma and turned into AIDS.
So
he died.
Ice Cube, Snoop, and Dre all end up drafting messages for his fans. I think Cube and Dre went and visited him in the hospital and squashed the beef and so forth. And then on March 26th of 95, Eazy dies allegedly from complications of AIDS.
But she got weird where you couldn't visit him in the hospital.
Yeah,
there's an interview with Heller and they were like, you couldn't even go in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Most reports say he was 31, but he was actually 30 because he lied to bump his age up by a year for some shit.
You can't sell crack unless you're 18 in California.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So, or the government.
Yeah. He was buried. And again, when they were trying to figure out what to bury him in, he wanted to be in a fucking flannel shirt, jeans, Compton hat, fucking leather
casket.
Gloves, gold casket, the whole thing.
His epitaph said, "Black don't crack, we sell it."
That's right.
Yeah.
So the weirdness of the AIDS thing. So first off, before we get into the weirdness and the conspiracy stuff, I will say that the one good thing that came from it is, and you can read a lot of again, music historians that talk about this fact, is Easy's death from AIDS was really a thing that started to nationally realign perceptions that this wasn't a homosexual disease.
Yeah.
Like when Eazy-E, who was known to just be getting into women all over the place, suddenly
they call it legal rape.
Yeah. He suddenly dies of AIDS, and it started this conversation. And it was really the catalyst for African Americans in the nation to be more comfortable talking about it or getting tested, or there was suddenly something out there that made
that sounds like a government.
A little bit.
But like how do we get African Americans to start talking about this disease that we
created? Seems like they would
let's give it to
it seems
Eazy-E.
Like the government would want them to have not started talking about it and still keep dying from it.
Unless the AIDS thing's a conspiracy and it's like they don't want them to procreate. Like, they want a population control of the black community and they're scared to have sex and start wearing condoms.
Maybe.
That's the same thing as why it's so high in Africa. You know what I mean? That's the conspiracy theory behind that.
Right.
Is that it's about population control.
Right. And same are thing the people in Africa dying of AIDS or the other diseases and no food?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's, and that was the thing. Like when we looked at AIDS, it was how many people actually died from AIDS. It's always a complication from AIDS. It's never
because that's allegedly AIDS the nature of how it works.
Yeah. But you never die from AIDS. So, and that was my never die from it.
And that was my like bring me back to earth on the conspiracy on this. I kept going back and forth with was, well, he had a common cold. But when you got fucking AIDS, you can die of a common cold.
Yeah, you don't that's have, you don't have an immune system.
But the problem was he didn't have like lesions or sores or he didn't look
sick. So part of the conspiracy that I read is one of his daughters, E.B. Wright, started a Kickstarter campaign, which failed horribly.
Yeah, actually. I couldn't believe the funding for that was fucking nothing. How did like one fucking gangster not be like, fuck that, I'm going to throw $1 million at that.
She was asking for $250,000 to do a documentary about Easy's death and what happened and do some research and dig into
$3,000.
Yeah, she didn't even get $3,000.
Yeah.
But some of the elements, and she records a video talking about some of the problems. She said it's really bizarre that he gets his diagnosis 3 weeks before his death. Because when you look at the typical person who has AIDS, they get diagnosed and then there's this lingering, deteriorating.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's lesions,
they look like
memory problems.
It's, they
starve to death. But he was like, oh, I think I have a cough. Oh, dead 2 weeks later. Like, I mean, it was fucking crazy. She cites the fact that most people were unable to visit him in the hospital, including his own children. Then she starts to basically point fingers at his wife and his lawyer.
I saw a video where she said that the mom might have done,
said that it wasn't her mom, but he got married a couple of days before
12
he died.
Days before his
12
death.
Days
in
before
secret,
his death.
Which is fucking weird too. Yep. Like he knows he's going to die with a quickness because he got married 12 days before he died.
And the lawyer and the wife drafted a new will right before he died.
On his deathbed. That was his attorney of 2 months.
Right. And at the time he was worth $50 million.
Yeah. I read a thing that says actual net worth was $8 million or something, but I don't know.
His estate right now is worth $8 million.
At the
time of his death, it was worth $50 million.
All right.
1 week before Easy's death, his estate was looted. Like a bunch of people took valuable possessions out of there. And then after he died, according to E.B. Wright, Tamika Woods Wright, who married him just before his death, basically ended up being the one who inherited everything.
Yeah.
So that conspiracy, I think this version of the conspiracy points towards the fact that the lawyer and the wife
you always have to look at like who benefits from the death.
Sure.
Like who, so of that's course. Obviously what it's going to be, right? Unless you have someone on the side that's like, oh, I have a deal worked out indirectly from this person.
Right.
But when you look at who benefits, then they're a guilty party of some sort.
Right.
Unless they're just completely being manipulated. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Another version of the conspiracy is from a rapper named Frost who was on the Ruthless label. And he said his version.
Kid Frost.
No, just Frost.
Different.
Are
just
sure?
Different.
Yeah.
Kid Frost is Mexican.
Yeah.
Frost, I watched an interview
Frost is
with
Mexican
Kid Frost,
too.
Though.
Like, oh, was it Kid Frost? Maybe he just calls himself Frost.
It was
now.
Kid Frost.
Oh, shit.
Because he said, when I was doing La Raza.
Fuck. So then that's one other person that
Easy
scouted.
Yeah, he said that Easy called me up and said, I got a check for $500,000. And I went to his fucking house. He said he got sick or something, showed up early, brought him a check for $500,000 and told him, don't fucking spend this all in one place. He said, I didn't hear shit. I already had 7 cars. And all I could think about where I was going to spend this whole fucking check I took off, thinking there's more to come or whatever. And that was the last time he talked to him because he got fucking sick or whatever. But it was Kid Frost.
Right. Okay. So now he just goes by
Frost. He did change it to Frost. Okay. I remember now because he's older.
Yeah. The kid.
He calls himself Kid Lion.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right.
Snoop Frost.
Yeah. So his theory is that after Easy got in a motorcycle accident, that they injected him with AIDS.
Via acupuncture treatment for pain right. after a quad accident or something.
Yeah. And saw, most people are like, acupuncture isn't going
to
do that.
Yeah, they said you would have to have like super fresh like AIDS serum or something and like dip it in there and then stick it in your back. And still, it probably wouldn't be an efficient method because it's like the epidermis and fat layers and the way that it's transmitted.
It's not going into injectable.
It would just like squeegee up the needle and stay on your back in a puddle and shit. Like,
and die.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend trying that.
Yeah.
But they said it would not be the way to go about doing it.
See, if you just cleaned your back with bleach.
Yeah, someone was saying something about a Wu-Tang video with super soakers and shit, and then he got sick directly after participating in that or something.
I don't know.
There's a bunch of weird ones out there.
But the other thing is, people point to Suge Knight.
You saw the interview on Kimmel?
I didn't see the interview, but I read the transcript of it.
It's weird.
And so Suge Knight is on Jimmy Kimmel. And
20 seconds. Everyone should just watch that shit.
Yeah. And he says, this new thing, right? So if somebody going to do something to somebody, technology is so high. Because
Kimmel has
a
bulletproof vest on. He's what the fuck's up with that?
Yeah.
And so then he responds with this.
Yeah. Kimmel's busting his balls and wearing a bulletproof vest because Suge Knight's on
the
show.
Yeah. He's being funny. Being funny, but serious.
Yeah. And he says, so if somebody's going to do something to somebody, technology is so high, right? So you shoot somebody, you go to jail forever. This is Suge Knight talking. And then he says, kids, you don't want to go to jail forever, right? So they got this new thing out. People sell them all the time. They got this stuff they get blood from somebody with AIDS and then they shoot you with it. That's the slow death.
Like Eazy-E.
Yeah. And then he said, that's a slow death, an Eazy-E death.
Yeah. And then it gets awkward as fuck. The audience is all, Jimmy Kimmel's all, whoa. Like it got just fucking weird.
Yeah.
Well, you have a fucking gangster on your show.
Yeah.
Like, what did you expect?
Exactly.
What exactly did you think was going to come out of his mouth?
Nothing good is going to come from Suge Knight being on your show.
No.
Yeah. Nothing.
He's going to threaten to break your knees. Yep. Like something bad is going to happen.
Yeah. And all the funny you're going to bring to your audience is going to backfire on your ass, Kimmel. Like, you make fucking fun of his ass, some shit's going south backstage because he doesn't give a fuck.
He might be able to kill the president or something. Speaking of, Eazy-E went to the president thing. You saw that?
Yeah, he went to George H.W. Bush's.
Because he's brilliant. He donated like $1,500 or $2,500 to like AIDS awareness or something. And because of that, he ended up on the list for the presidents or something. Or
to get AIDS.
To go to his like, or they said maybe he donated to his campaign. But the interview I saw with him said he gave $1,500 and got $1 million in advertising.
It was back in 91. Yeah. It was right when Eazy-E was I mean, it was when NWA had just blown up and he gave some money.
And they didn't know who was. Lunch. A bunch of white people were like, wow, this guy's a hip hop artist. Yeah. That'll be good for PR.
Yep.
Yeah. And I like black people.
Yeah. And it was actually, the thing is, it was hosted by the president, but it was a Republican senatorial lunch to raise money for the Republican Senate.
Eazy-E there.
And George Bush was there, but the fucking reporters just fucking swamped it.
Did they have valet parking? They had a park at 64. Yeah. Like, it was like Bentley limo, like, you know, and then fucking 64 Impala rolls
And the
up.
Thing is, like, they even brought the Impala back, like all this shit, like Impalas are still popular, like, you know, etc. And it's because of Eazy.
Tommy had one, actually. Tommy had a 64.
Yeah, the game runs one.
Does
he? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's because Eazy, like, because of that line, you know, cruising down the street. Street and my 6 foe, like that just
an iconic line,
The movie Boys in the Hood probably made it pretty.
Yeah,
a follow up on that.
I just got a Boys in the Hood t-shirt. I'm very happy about it.
I have a Boys in the Hood t-shirt.
Yeah, are you very happy? It didn't sound very happy about it. Oh, I did see it.
My Halloween shirt.
Right. That's right.
It says the Boys in the Hood are always hard and has the Grim Reaper on it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Eazy-E. I don't think, I mean, as much as I knew about him and as much as I loved his music, I completely dismissed him as, like I said, just being a clown. Just like you kind of assume that Dre was the shot caller of that whole thing. Even back in the day, you assumed Dre was the shot caller. He was the producer. He was the, you know, everything. And, but I mean, Eazy. Well,
I definitely feel like there was some weird shadiness. I don't know if it was,
there was,
if it was Dre, if it was Suge, if it was Heller, but it didn't seem like Heller. I listened to an interview with Heller and he was like, yeah, that seems really weird. He was like, all the circumstances surrounding everything. He even seemed very conspiratorial about something went down. Something was weird. He got sick overnight and fucking died immediately.
Cause that's the thing. Like it just doesn't.
No one could see him.
I mean, it just doesn't seem like how people die of AIDS. Like he didn't have a year's worth of symptoms. Right. He didn't have, like, it just hit him like a fucking brick and he was dead a month later. Like, yeah, crazy. It's definitely weird. Yeah. It's definitely weird, but Easy was dope. If you haven't listened to him much, go back and check him out. I've been listening to him quite a bit since we started researching him, but
all right, I'm
gonna have to pour some out for him.
I got a social media winner for sharing Jimmy Savile. This is three names, so Brad's going to be really happy about it. Tim, I won't even say his middle name because you don't give a fuck about it. We'll just skip it.
Is it good?
He has a middle name.
That's the thing. If it's not good, it's just...
If it's a dope name, it's worth putting
in there. It's pretty basic, but as a whole, maybe it works.
Can't we renege it?
It's your call.
Renege it.
I'm just going to throw it out there and see what you guys think. You guys can vote on it, but it's Tim John Cedillo.
No.
And he gets a
Jesus
t-shirt.
Christ.
No. Yeah.
Stop it.
It sounds you sound like
what if it was Timothy Jonathan?
No. If it's Cedillo. Tim John sounds like if you were a soldier in Vietnam and you got like a little Vietnamese boy to carry your pack, his name
come here, Tim John.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tim John, bring me my pack.
Chip chip, Tim John. Chip chip. Come here. Bring my pack. Catch up, Tim John. Anyways, Tim John. You're getting a t-shirt for sharing on Facebook. Thank you for doing so. And then thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. None of you guys Tecco bombed anyone. Everyone's bitches. They're scared. Damn. No one put any Tecco in any public places and tagged Sofa King made me do it. I feel powerless. We could drink King Cobra and they'll do that. They could put dicks on plates next to tacos and shit, but I got no one to Tecco bomb yet.
That's disturbing me still.
Yeah.
What, the dick on the plate. Yeah.
That was really weird. I think that I saw it and didn't notice it because I went through those. I probably liked it and everything.
You didn't realize the
this whole time I liked dick. I liked dick and I didn't even know it this whole time.
You just saw the taco. You didn't see the garnish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was quite a garnish.
Yeah. Gross.
Can we just start calling it that from now on?
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to see my garnish?
That makes it seem small. I'm not using that term. Garnish seems like a little sprig.
I don't know. You ever been like a bad restaurant where they put like so much garnish on your shit? Yeah. It's got like an orange on your beans.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Why you put a fucking orange and fucking all this lettuce shit on my beans and I can't even eat it?
Yeah.
Why is it on beans?
I remember when going to Sizzler, I would eat the garnish.
Yeah, it's just
what was
bad.
It?
It's like parsley? It's that fucking weird shit.
Parsley, yeah.
I didn't know any better. My parents just
I'm talking about the
cheese toast and parsley.
I'm not talking about the parsley. I'm talking about the thick leaf fucking like rubbery lettuce shit they put on there.
They probably just wash the garnish and reuse it too.
Yeah, probably.
Damn, that's a huge ass parsley. God. Look at the size of that parsley. Anyways, thanks to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. If you haven't tried it, you should. Go to the store, buy it, put it in your mouth. Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap.
Or you could share a shit and win it.
You could. You can do that. I got a bunch of it. I'm going to be giving some away. I will mail it to you. If you're in Australia, there's some guy on the group that can't find fucking Tecco. He needs help. Tell him where to spend your dollar dues. Yeah, there's weird little places.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at the Land Rover outlet. That's all you guys have. That's where you buy your beige shorts and didgeridoos. They also have Tecco.
Yeah, it's called the Bush.
Mm-hmm. thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. Go to printdirtcheap.com and use code SOFAKING to save some money. They do stickers and printer goods. So go check them out. Also, thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. And on that note, I'm doing it. I'm being brave. Today is Sunday. So for those of you that don't know the time frame because you're listening out of order or something, you might get fucked. But I'm going to put it all over social media and shove it down your throat. We're releasing our limited shirt tomorrow. So that is Monday. What's the date tomorrow? As that comes out of my
mouth. So if you're a fuckface peasant who's just listening to this on Tuesday because you're not a patron, then it already happened yesterday.
So yeah, Monday the 22nd, that's going to go up and be available for purchase. So here's the deal though. It's going to fucking take a long time to get the shirt. So we're going to let it run for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have 2 weeks. All the details are on the item description. It's pre-ordered. The shirts don't exist. I don't have boxes full of fucking extra larges, smalls. It's when you order it for your size. Read the description if you're a girl. There's a sizing chart for
November,
reference
there. November 5th?
I think November 5th is when we're going to close it at midnight. Yeah. Pacific Standard Time, U.S. So.
And you will never be able to get it again.
Yeah. It's like how we did the UFO shirt. So this is a cool shirt. We're calling it Surf Wax. It's a tricolor. Every shirt's is slightly different, actually. It's kind of cool. There's three.
Yeah, he's pulling the color.
There's three inks on one screen that get pulled through. So everybody's shirt's a little different. It's kind of cool.
Kind of cool. It's that West Coast flavor.
Yeah, there's some pictures on there. But anyways, you're going to order it. And they won't even be submitted until the day after November 5th. So November 6th, I will submit quantities and order blanks and be sent. Yeah. They get created.
Turn around, we'll get them. We'll ship them to you.
Yeah. So it's going to take a little while to get them. It's open tomorrow.
And there's no limit. If you want to order five, order five. Get what you want now.
The thing you have to remember about November is that it's knocking on Christmas's door. Yeah. So you might want to buy some extras as stocking stuff.
Yeah. Remember the 5th of November. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's happening. You have been
men's
warned.
Men's regular tees and also, or I guess unisex tees. There's tees,
right?
And then
same tees we use for the other ones. As far as men's concerned, yeah,
women's not scoop necks and just regular like tees.
It's a if women's you're curious, tee. If there's a reference on there, I actually put it. Bella Canvas 6004.
Yeah,
four. So
it's
called
a boat shoe.
Women's favorite tee. So women everywhere love it.
And you can wear this shirt with your boat shoe.
So there you go. So Jimmy D's Tees is going to get those printed for us, and they will be on our website, available tomorrow, running through November 5th at midnight. So you need to order them. You can quit messaging me about where is the limited tee that you can't find on the website. There was a reason, because it's not fucking on the website. It is now. So go check it out. Buy one, buy two, buy three. Thank you to Digital Creations. They make our coffee mugs. Those are also available on our website at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. And if you're with Super Fight, hit us up. I sent you a message. We're right here. We have potty mouths, and your game works very well to settle arguments. So we'd probably have a romantic, long-lasting relationship. So that's all I got.
Yes.
If you're on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast and get in the conversation there. That's growing. It's good to see. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're going to share what you can. If you see a post, share it. Fuck everybody else.
One more thing when you're done. Just remembered. Let me go now. $40 patrons. I sent out a message. I'm just going to put this public because no one checks their box in there, but $40 patrons actually just getting the shirt free. So just like we did the hoodie, that shit's just going to show up. So you need to make sure that your shipping address and size is correct in Patreon because that's just going to show up because we already know your size and your shipping address. So make sure that's correct.
If you're fluffy for winter, adjust the size.
Adjust the size if you have your winter coat.
If you're in the keto room with Brent,
take
it down a notch. Yep.
Exactly.
So do that. So again, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Share those posts. Win free shit. Very simple. It's at Sofa King Podcast. Check us out on our personal Instagrams at Sofa King Brad, at Sofa King Britton, at Sofa King Dave. Also check out the Captain_SK quotes, Sofa King Podcast Art Unofficial, and Hilgenfeld. Check them out on Instagram. And if you want to support the show and keep things like video, and actually we fixed the video group.
Yep. Yeah. So that's another
thing. We'll not be going live on the main anymore. You got your taste.
Yep.
If you're not a patron of $10 or more, you will not be getting live video, and patrons of $40 or more, right? Are we doing 40?
What?
40 for live show. They get live show.
That's in the works. Brad's saying it. So that might be happening.
We can do it. So if you're $40 or more, we're just going to give you video of all the shows. Live in a group
Also, nice. I want to tell Sam Culper thank you. That man has faded away into the darkness, but still working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
He handles the group, the private group, and there's all kinds of craziness that goes on there. Fucking like three people got kicked out last week. You guys are rowdy and naughty, and that guy has to fucking deal with you. So thank you. Also, a new episode of Breakers came out allegedly.
Did it?
I heard a rumor. Yeah, that has been a while. So thank you to Sam Culper. Shout out to Breakers Podcast. Shout out to Just the Worst Podcast.
Yeah. I've been in a different world. I'm been a space cowboy past couple weeks. So again, go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast and support the show. We're trying to give away more goodies. Brent's been working really hard. Thank you, Brent. I want to say thank you.
Yeah, you're busting
ass. Brent's been busting his ass. And
I got a bunch
really
of cool shit for patrons. Yeah, actually, I didn't even say right
really
now.
Really step it up. Yeah. And really, I think, and like I said before, I think we're giving away, I mean, just with weekly prizes, and we're giving away more than anybody else. We're just trying to spread the love. So the love you guys give us, we're trying to give it back. So
because you know what? You matter.
You do.
Yeah, and there's stuff I didn't really like. I won't say in detail.
Like, if you killed yourself, I want to go to your funeral, but I'm busy that day. But I want to.
My throat
and
it's would always hurt really the bad. Thought.
Yeah. I get a lump in my throat.
Yeah,
and it's the thought that counts. Really, I would send a card.
Yeah,
but
I would take a Tums and think about you.
Yeah. So, just so you know, But yeah, so anyway, the end song is I Don't Think So by Buddy. Don't be a retard.
Ooh, hell yeah. West side. These niggas don't want it, fair warning. At the end of the night, it be their morning. 64 Chevrolet swing around corners. Once the casket hits the grave, then they're goners. My mama told me to be careful. If you out in them streets, then they can't help you. But why the hell go around when I can go through it? My homies still banging, now I tell them don't do it. 4:20 in the morning, still smoking. OGs by the liquor store, still loking. Niggas try to catch me slipping, but they still haven't. Word around town, someday it will happen, but so niggas trying to rob me. I don't think so. Say they gon' call me. I don't think so. Steady plotting on me. I don't think so. Niggas trying to stop me. I don't think so. Say they gon' kill me. I don't think so. But nigga, I'm a real G. I don't think so. Talk is cheap in my city, and I've been saving my pennies. And I'ma give me a chopper so I can rain through the city. You niggas bound to get wet if you in the vicinity. If you raising a set, then you know what it's finna be. Niggas always be sparking the cushion, pulling the Hennessy. When the bro off the Zanny, man, I don't fuck with his tendencies. Put his foot on the gas, feel the blast of the energy. Put his finger on the trigger soon as he see the enemy. Every time I take the 91, swear I see the ambulance. You niggas are scandalous, damn. Rest in peace, all my G's, got my lighters in the air for you. Pretty soon I'll be there for you. I don't think so. Niggas trying to rob me. I don't think so. Say they gon' clone me. I don't think so. Steady plotting on me. I don't. But I don't think so. Niggas tryna stop me. I don't think so. Say they gon' kill me. I don't think so. But nigga, I'm a real G. I don't. So I don't.